Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want to continue speaking to you this thing about unity. The Lord hadn't turned me loose, so I'm not going to turn you loose yet. So he hadn't turned me loose from it. So this thing about unity, I want to start out over in John 13. You know, we sing this song, Glorify Your Name. We glorify your name in all the earth. You know, we think that we are only limited to, that might not be a right way to say it. We major upon glorifying the Lord verbally. We want to glorify him verbally. We want to say great things about him. We want to say nice things about him. We want to say wonderful things about him. And all of that is good. We should do that. We should be bragging about our God. But, you know, the glory is his character. And the best way you can glorify the Lord is to live out his character. If you want to really glorify God, glorify his name, that's when you begin to live out what he's already put in. We can't live in a way to obtain his character because it's unearnable. It's not something that you're going to earn. It's something that he's already given in your salvation. He's already made the deposit inside you of who he is. Is that Karen? Hey, Karen. It's good to have you back. You over here behind a mask, and I didn't recognize you. It's good to have you back. I know you've been sick and going through a hard time, but we applaud you being back. Thank God you're doing better. So this thing about his character is huge, really, because when Moses said, you know, I want to see your glory, you know, and he said, well, you won't be able to see my face, but I'm going to show you. What he showed him was his compassion, his gracious, his patience, his long-suffering. See, that's all his character, his attributes. So he's showing the glory of who he was. He showed the character of who he was. And Jesus said, the same glory that you've given me, he's talking to the Father, the same glory that you've given me, I have given to them. The same attributes that I have in you is the same attributes that they have in me because I've given them the same attributes as me. You don't earn it. A lot of us trying to work hard to be holy. How many of you have ever walked that walk? It's like an apple tree, and you know you're going waiting on the apple to pop out just any time. You know, it isn't done that way. It's done by abiding. As you abide in him and he abides in you, you know, that's when our fruitfulness begins to manifest. It's when we begin to live out what God has put in. You know, a lot of times we're taught that we have to work at being holy. No, the only thing we need to do is just be who he says we are. We are holy. We are righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He didn't say, you're going to have to work to this. He said, no, you already are. See, he wants us to live out of our being, and then we'll do. Instead of live our being, and instead of live out of our doing, and try to be. You know, so it makes a whole lot of difference, right? If I've got to earn my salvation, we've got a long road from where I came from, way far away from him. And if I had to earn it, I'd still be trying to work to earn it, but it's not possible to earn. It's a gift. All he wants is my surrender, my turning away and turning to him. The repentance of our life, the repentance, the changing of our mind and the way we think about who we are, who he is, and about our sin. And he wants us to change our minds about that in order to be able to, we have to turn from in order to turn to. Amen? So I want to look at this thing about glorifying his name. I want to look at this thing also about the unity that God is really wanting us to have with each other. John 13:34 says this, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. And then he qualifies it. So the commandment he's given is what? Say it loud. Love. Say it loud. Love one another. He said, even as I have loved you, he qualifies it, even as I have loved you, the same way I've loved you, I want you to love others. How did he love you? Unconditionally. You didn't have to work up for him to love you. He loved you while you and I were yet sinners, yet low and foul and detesting. He loved us. And he said, I want you to love others the way I love you. Then he goes on and says, that you also love one another. I want you to, as I've loved you, I want you to love each other. Then he goes on this, and this is what amazes me now. By this, everybody say, by this. Let's finish this verse and then we'll talk some more. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. What is Jesus wanting the world to know? That you're a follower of him. It is not how much you know that convinces people that you're his disciple. It's how much you live. It's how much you walk out. He said, as you love people the way he loves you and I, as you love people, he says that all by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. You are my disciple. You are my follower. You are a follower of me. And he says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples. If you have love one for the other. You know, we talked the other week about how many sermons how many sermons is done in a year. There was like 46,800 messages. That's just minimum. There's more than in cell groups that we don't even know of. Bible studies that are going. I know Brother O.A. does a Bible study every Monday. You know, and other people all across. You know, there's more in this county that's happening. So it's greater than that. See, it's not the knowledge that's going to convince people. It's not the knowledge that's going to convince people. You remember the joke where there was a hippie and there was a smartest man in the world and there was another man that was in an airplane and it was crashing they said, "Hope we got two parachutes and we got three people." So, one was a pastor, I think. So, a pastor, a hippie, and a smartest man in the world. So they said, Pastor said, you guys go ahead. I've lived my life, and I'm ready to go anyway. And then the other man there, smartest man in the world, he said, I've got a lot still left to do. You know, and they said, still don't have but two. There's three of us, still don't have but two. And then finally, there's over there saying, and the preacher says, I tell you what I'll do. I'll just pray The hippie looked at the preacher and said, "You no need to pray." I said, "Well, why shouldn't I pray?" He said, "The smartest man in the world just jumped out with my backpack." Okay, stick to preaching. I get it. I don't know that I can recover, to be honest with you. I got these images in my head that the smart. No, I'm going. Yeah, I got a lot to do. I got a whole lot more to do than what I've been doing. He just grabbed something and grabbed a backpack. So, anyway, so how are people going to know that we're his disciples? Not because you read and pray. All that is great. I'm not against reading the Bible. I'm not against praying. But I'm telling you, what you live out, you can be the smartest man in the world and still not have a clue what you're doing. So that's where that came in. I was wondering, how did I tie this together? Because that wasn't in my notes, but anyway. So you begin to see that the world is looking for someone that is demonstrating his love. and then they're going to know that you're different. You remember over when children of Israel was coming out of Egypt, and they was in the wilderness, and God was wanting to take them to the promised land, and he said, "Now this is where I'm going to take you," da-da-da-da, and to go on that. And Moses says, "Well, listen, if your presence does not go with us, leave us here. Don't send us out anywhere. If your presence doesn't go with us, because if your presence doesn't go with, we won't be distinguishable between us and other people. They won't have a clue that we belong to you." So his presence was manifested by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The manifestation of his presence. That's what he said. "Hey, we want your presence to go with us. That way they'll know, hey, God people." It was very important for Moses to say, I want to be known as one of yours. Well, we don't have the cloud by day and the fire by night. We have the presence inside us. But guess what? That presence must be manifested. It must be shown. It must be lived out. So you can say, "I love you." But when you don't demonstrate that love and you don't have the demonstration of it happening in your doing, having it in your action, you're not proving to the world, you're not showing to men and women that you're a follower of Jesus. See, I'd wish, you know, it'd be easier for me, you know, to really, when you think about it, it'd be easier for me. He said, "Just preach my word and they'll know that you're my disciple." But he didn't say that. We need to preach his word. It's both and. You know, but the demonstration of you loving people is going to show people that you are a follower of Jesus. What that means is when he sends you, how many of you have ever asked God, "Make me more loving"? I'll be honest, make me more loving. There's a few of you, you know, the rest of you is going to catch up with us. But no, I'm messing with you. But make me more loving. I want to be able to love everybody. And who he sends to you? Is some of the hardest people to love that you've ever had in your life. That's who he sends your way. Why is that? Because he's already said in the Bible, he said, it's easy to love those that love you. It's easy to be good to those who are good to you. It's easy to be kind to those that are kind to you. He actually says, love your enemies. So he'll bring somebody that's just mean, hateful, and puts them right in the middle of your life. I wished I hadn't prayed, make me more loving. Doesn't work that way. Yeah, he's already sent them. So he's wanting us to understand that when Moses said, we want your presence to go, so we'll be distinguished between other people. Christians ought to be distinguishable between the world and us. There should be a noticeable difference. I'm not talking about glowing with halos. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our behavior, how we act, how we live, how we talk, how we respond, how we behave. Jesus said, when they see that you're loving each other, when you have love, unconditional love for each other, that's when all men will know that you are my disciples, you are followers of me. But see, he doesn't, also he talked about favor. He said, because we want them to know that we have your favor. You know, we ask God for his favor, and he's asking us for the rest of our lives. These compartments that we have that we hadn't fully surrendered over to him. He said, I'm wanting that. But I want your favor. He said, well, I want this. How many of you have, God's ever knocked on some of your chamber doors? I mean, it's like, you know, that thing. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been Christian for a long time and all of a sudden Revelation 3 comes. You know, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to people. He's talking to church folk. This is a letter that's written to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door and let him come in, he will what? Commune. He will sup. He will commune with them and let them commune with him. See, he's looking for areas in your life that you're not communing with him. That's the ones he's after. That's the reason he knocks. He says, if anybody hear my voice. Now, we like to use that for salvation messages, and it can be, but it's actually written to the church. It's actually written to church-going folk. You know, but see, we're not church-going folk. We are church, right? We do go to church. We come together as the assembly, you know, of God's people in a house. And that's what we're doing today. But you don't have church. You be church. Say, well, I'll be church. Now, see, he doesn't stop there with formulas in the scriptures that hold us to a living that produces something that he wants produced. See, what is our slogan? Everybody say it with me. Love God. Okay, let's scale this out. Don't tell me. 1 to 10, how much do you love God? No, don't tell me. Think about it. 1 to 10, how much do you love God? 1 to 10, how much do you love people? I'm trying to locate that voice. Was it you? Yeah. Yeah, even Stephen. Yeah. What was that question again? I want to make sure I get it on.
All the people?
All the people. Yeah, A-L-L. I know you love people. How many of you thinking of right now that's uh-oh? Yeah. So we all feel that way. Oh, yeah. You saw it coming, didn't you, brother? You saw it coming. See this thing, look, if your gospel is not worth living, get you another one and get the right one. There's a lot of gospels out there that say they're good news, but they're not good news. They have agendas with it. Let's see, Paul even talks about, if somebody comes by giving you another gospel, don't pay attention to it. Why? It's not his. You know? It makes it okay not to love all people. I'm not pointing to you. I'm really not. See, that gospel makes it okay to not love them. All people? Yeah. The demonstration, the fire and the cloud, the fire and the cloud, he knew that would demonstrate to everybody else that we're God's people because we have a manifested presence of who he is. And then he's inside us and he wants us to have a manifested presence, manifest to live out, to reveal in our living, in our walk of who he is. And that's going to be able to capture people's attention. That's going to be able to say, oh, they're different. Amen? We need to be distinguishable. You know, I mentioned to you that years and years ago, there was a magazine, I think it was Newsweek, it might have been Time, and it was said, I didn't forget the article, but I do remember this, quite remember this, and I've said it here a few times before, but it said, right, and it is quote, it said, right when we needed the church the most, we turned to her and found that she was just like us. Wasn't any difference. We were just as fearful. We were just unpeaceful. Just as mean, just as... Right when we needed the church the most, we turned to her and found that she was just like us. Boy, we need to be a distinguishable people. We really do. We really need that representation of who Jesus is in us being heard by what we say and being felt by what we do and how we act and how we respond. And he wants us to do that. See, that's how these formulas, there's a lot of so that's in the scripture. It's not a work. It is a follow-up of what he said that we need to do, and there's a blessing with it. Amen. God wants us to be able to live out all these things that he's put in, all of his character that he's put in. Let's look over in John 17. We'll continue on with this. John 17, verse 22. Jesus says, "The glory which thou hast given to me," we mentioned that, "glory which thou hast given to me, I have given to them." The very character of who I am, I have given to them. And he goes on, he says, that they may be one. Oneness is a gift from God. Oneness. We're baptized into one body. One body. The body of Christ. One body. How many churches are in this county? Somebody say, 300. No, one. There may be 300 congregations, but there's only one body of Christ here in the church. And it's not Father's Vineyard. We're part of the whole in this county of the church. We're part of that. We may say, well, I don't understand all that. Neither do I. Just have faith that he's already made that. He goes on that they may be one just as we are one, just as you and I are one, Father. This is his prayer. Just as you and I are one, I want them to be one. I've given them my glory so they can accomplish this. I and them and thou and me, that, watch this, that they may be perfected in unity. Okay, being oneness with the revelation that we are one, now comes the vision of perfecting what we have. Being one, perfecting it, bringing it to completion. That's the reason Paul said, endeavor to keep what you've been given. Endeavor to keep the unity of peace, unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. And why does he want you to be perfected in unity? Here's a so that the world may know that thou didst send me. Wait a minute. What did he say? That when we demonstrate unity, the world will know that Jesus has been sent from the Father, that Jesus is the Messiah. Why is it important for us to have unity in our walk with one another? I'm not saying we're all going to agree on everything. We all wore different colors and different outfits and all. It doesn't mean you don't agree with everything, but we're one. We're one people and we have unity. Perfecting that unity, making that unity complete. And he says, in the process of that, the world will know that Jesus is the Messiah. That God has sent Jesus. See, this hinges upon our behavior, how we treat one another. Number one, love one another, that we're going to be his disciples. Okay, we'll be recognized as his followers. Being in unity is going to show the world that, wait a minute, God, Jesus is the Messiah. Why? I can't figure that out. I just know it's true. That's the reason our complete unity is not something that we just can throw away arbitrarily and just say, oh, well. No, it's not an oh, well. It's an endeavor to be able to do it. Because we want people to see that God has sent Jesus to pay for their sins. My Bible says that our unity with each other causes them to see this, causes them to know this. See, it's not that we have a church on every corner. That doesn't really matter. What matters is, how do we get along with one another? How do we treat one another? How do we act toward one another? Do we cooperate with one another? Does that make sense? The unity of the church it's fragmented because we've got our own little things that we want to do. And he said, endeavor to keep what I've given you. Make it complete. So he says, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and didst love them. I loved them enough. They'll know that they were loved enough by God to send his own son. They've heard the message. Do you hear that? They've heard the message. There's probably not a person in this county that has not heard the gospel message. With 46,800 messages a year, I'm sure everybody, somewhere along the line, everybody's heard it one way or the other. See, it's not here, not just hearing the message. We need to put it out there. We need to have it out there where it's heard. Faith comes by hearing. They need to hear it, but we don't need to stop at that. It needs to be our unity needs to be demonstrated so they can see it. Make the difference. Love God, love people, make a difference. So we've got to make a difference in the community. Unity needs the revelation of seeing this. Oh, I got it. I got this. I got it. I see it. You know, then when something else happens, something comes up, you're able to say, well, we need to work through this. Right? We need to have reconciliation. But see, reconciliation is just not reconciled and that's it. Reconciliation, because something went awry, but also after that comes trust. So he wants the world to see that he loved them enough to send his own son and he's the Messiah. And that happens because they have viewed and seen the unity that we have one with the other. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful when you see it. But it's so challenging. I mean, it is a challenge to be able to do this. Amen? It's a challenge. Society isn't seeing our unity, and it does not recognize Jesus. And because of that, it does not recognize Jesus in us or through us. Because they see us fight it with one another. They hear the words. So, what else does this thing with unity do? Well, it demonstrates to the world that Jesus is the Messiah when we are able to love one another, when we're able to work with each other. See, a lot of times we look, as denominations, we will look for differences to go to war over and battle each other. It's true. We'll look at the differences and we'll highlight all the differences and then minimize all the main doctrines that we all believe. But we'll pick this one and pick that one and just pick it apart because I don't agree with that. Anyway, here's another reason our unity is so important. Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 27, 28. I hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. I hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. See that? Standing firm. Here's the oneness. Here's the unity. Standing firm in one spirit. Watch this. With one mind. The thought process that we have with one mind. We're together with this, with one mind. And then he says, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And not frightened in anything by your opponents. But get that picture. Eric, come step up here and Billy, come up here. See, here's, Brenda told me, don't you call me up there this week. See, I called her up. Look, see this brother's hug. I mean, I just love, come on up here. I guess we got room to do that. He said, side by side, let's get arm in arm. He said, here we are, striving one with the other. He said, this is it, walking one with the other. Why? It opposing, watch that, the unity is opposing the opposition. That's what the Bible says. Striving with one another, not with, but side by side. Side by side with one another. I got him. He's got me. And I don't have to worry about him because he's connected over here with Billy. You understand what I'm saying? So, and he said, you walk in this way that the opposition begins to know something. And we're going to read that in this passage. But see, this happens. See, you just can't him go this way and me go this way. They go, and I'm going, no. This is a walking together. Thank you, guys. I really do appreciate it. Appreciate it. So why is that so important? Watch this. He said, with one mind, striving side by side for faith of the gospel, of the good news, for the faith of the good news, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. How many of you have opponents? How many of you have opposition? All right, let me see the hands. I want to see who's not going to tell the truth. If you have had opposition in your life, raise your hand. Okay, everybody's, no liars here today, so I'm messing with you. Listen, see this thing is so valuable to us, but yet we haven't had the revelation of it for it to capture who we are. It has to capture who we are. It has to captivate. Hey, wait a minute. We're one. I'm not opposing the church down the street. I'm not at odds with the church down the street. We are the church. Well, no, we may not be on the same page as far as what we're supposed to do in this community, but we got to do things together. Don't not frightened by anything. He said, watch this, not frightened in anything by your opponents. Watch this. This is a clear sign to them. Who? A clear sign to, is it who or whom? Who? Yeah, them. And anyway, this is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of our salvation, and that from God. Unity, walking together side by side, is a clear sign to those that are opposing us, their destruction is forthcoming. Their plans that they made to keep us back and to hold us back is going to fall. It's going to fail. It's not going to manifest. He said, this is a clear sign for them, but it's a clear sign of our deliverance. That word salvation does not mean you go to heaven. It means you're delivered. It's a clear sign of their destruction. In other words, it's going to be destroyed. Their opposition is going to be destroyed. And our deliverance is going to be manifested. And that is coming from God. That's how important our unity is. But yet we take it so lightly about being unified, about coming together. Yes? Okay. See, the divisions are easier. It's worse for you, but being divided is easier than being united. You got to work out your differences to be united. How many of you are married? How many of you had to work out some differences once you said, I do? Yeah, you see that? You had to work out differences to stay united. It's easy to quit. It's easy to give up. It's easy to say, I'm done. I'm through. It's easy to do that. It's harder to say, I'm going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm going to keep that. I'll close with this passage. Not through, but I'll close with it. Proverbs 6 talks about this. There are six things. Proverbs 6:16. There are six things that the Lord hates. Six things that the Lord hates. And yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Six things he hates, and seven, all seven are abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a proud look. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. That it's an abomination to him. He hates it. A heart that devises wicked plans. Just thinking up wickedness to do. Feet that run rapidly to evil. In other words, I'm not even going to slow down, because I'm going to make sure that this continues to go on. Because it probably benefits me if I'm going to do that. If I have that attitude. Then he goes on, a false witness who utters lies. And where somebody's giving a false witness of you, giving a witness of you, and it's all lies. Let me tell you about this, and it's all lies. Oh, let me tell you about this, and it's all lies. Let me tell you about this, and it's all lies. That's what he's talking about. He said, I hate it. That's what he said. I hate it, and it's an abomination to me. Y'all hearing this? And it's all lies. Then he goes on and says, listen to this one. He says, and one who spreads strife or sows discord among the brethren. Sowing discord among God's people. Sowing strife among God's people. He said, I hate it, and it's an abomination to me. See, it flies in the face of unity. Sowing discord. Sowing discord. See, those are the things that God says, we need to do away with. That will hinder you and I from becoming this perfection or this completion in unity. So did you know gossip is one of the things that he uses to sow discord? That the enemy uses it. How many of you have had roasted pastor for lunch after, you know? I didn't particularly care for his message today, did you? No, I didn't. I didn't like that dumb joke either. It's okay not to like the joke. I'm fine with that. No, well, why? It's so easy to begin to be divisive than it is to find the positives and unify around the positive. Unify around the thing that God is actually doing. That God has actually done, that God is actually in the midst of doing. I'm telling you, he put so much weight upon his body getting along and not attacking each other. This denomination against that denomination. They're all imperfect. Every one of them. All of them are imperfect. They're none of them perfect. Jesus on this earth. Look, let's follow Jesus. And when your denomination doesn't line up with Jesus, guess what? You strike that off. I said, well, I know that's what my denomination believes, but I'm going to believe the Bible. You don't have to leave the denomination just because you disagree on one or two points. Do you hear me? I'm not creating division. I'm saying, look, we're not all going to believe the same thing. We're going to have differences of opinion. We're going to have differences of interpretation. But the sound doctrine is still the sound doctrine that we have to stand on and unify around. But you know, you can have all the doctrine right. You can be perfect in your doctrine and not be like Jesus Christ. You can have all the knowledge. You can have all the doctrines nailed to a T. But if you have not become like Jesus Christ in your walk and in your behavior, we've missed the mark. That's our divine purpose, for us to become to the express image of who his son is. That we can express in our walk who Jesus is, not just in our talk. Doctrine is extremely important, but you can be so loaded down with doctrine that you have not found the way to live it. So, can't we all just get along? You ever heard that? Can't we all just get along? It's not get along just to get along. It's get along for his purposes. It's to reveal to the earth that God sent Jesus here to pay for our sins. And the Holy Spirit came to guide us into all truth, not just a little truth. Well, this is the truth that I have, and this is all I want. Well, you don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. No, because you hadn't got the whole package being lived out. You got the whole package in you, but you haven't got the whole package that is being expressed from you. You need the Holy Spirit to do that. You and I both do. He actually says over in Titus, he talks about, he said, there's people that are among you that is spreading strife and constantly causing divisions. He said, warn them once or twice, and if they do not correct, and if they're not able to receive correction, then he says, have nothing to do with them. That's how powerful it is. Somebody's going to constantly sow strife and keep people at each other, just constantly doing it. He said, warn them, correct them. And if they won't receive the correction, if they don't change, he said, just don't have anything to do with them. Avoid them. Does that mean you don't love them? That means you always love them. You still love them. So when he says that in his word, avoid them, don't have anything to do with them, he's pretty serious about unity. And he's pretty serious about being against divisions. Amen? How many of you are ready to say, I'm getting it? I am, this thing is coming in, I'm getting it. 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 Okay. Let's all stand. Pastor John, come up and close us out if you don't mind.
Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That means so be it. Amen. Father, we just thank you today, Lord. And God, we thank you for the word that have been spoken, Father. And God, we ask you, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, God, that you will help us to live out the unity of your spirit, Father. And God, we pray for every member that's here today, God, for the congregation that's here, and God, those that are watching by live screening. Father, we pray a freshness of your spirit upon all of us, Lord God, that we will go forth in the unity of your spirit, Lord, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.